Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and welcome to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I do really give a shit. No way around it, okay? So here's the thing. I am really happy to be here with you today. It's a summer day, which really makes me happy. I want to remind you that I'm with Radio Free Brooklyn, which is the best radio that happens anywhere in the tri-state area. I think that's fair. I'm not saying the whole planet, definitely the tri-state area though. So I am very excited about our guests today because we actually have three people from the this new show called Wild Women of Planet Wongo, which is a really sexy show. And it's kind of a musical theatery type thing. It's an immersive experience. It involves really, it's got like a really hot plot. I'm just gonna read this, okay? Wild Women of Planet Wongo follows the adventures of two lost astronauts when they crash land on a mysterious planet of sexy and dangerous warrior women who have never seen men. It is youth, lust, and idealism, true love, revolution, and even snack food that triumphs over warped authority. Doesn't that sound really hot? You know, and they invited me for free tonight, which is so awesome. Opening night was last night, and I'm sort of afraid to bring my husband because I saw the three women running around at Bushwick Open Studios. Remember, I don't know if you heard last week's show, but we had two amazing people who are leaders in the Bushwick art community, Nissa Frank and Christopher Stout, on, and we talked about Bushwick Open Studios, including their love lives personally and stuff like that. But anyway, so I'm a little afraid that like my husband's gonna run off with a hot babe or like get really, I don't know. I'm a little afraid of it. I'm a little afraid of being threatened and that like we're gonna have a big fight or something. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not that confident, especially around gorgeous young women. I mean, can you blame me? I'm just being honest here, that's all. But before I get them in, I want to tell you a little bit about my personal o Bushwick Open Studio experience, like that I was telling my shrink about this morning, because I found it to be like very rewarding and curative, even for me, and maybe even some other people. I was dressed like a grandmother. I had this set and a rocking chair. You know, I was wearing a muumuu and a gray wig and all that. I looked probably 3 or 4 years older than I am, you know, 70s and 80s maybe. And that's a joke. And then I had a poster or whatever, part of the set, and it said, it was announcing that I was giving out unconditional love and you should sit in my lap and let me rock you. So I had this really amazing experience of having complete strangers sitting in my lap where I was hugging them and literally pretending I was like their grandmother and going saying things like, "I love you so much. You're my favorite granddaughter. You're my prettiest granddaughter, and you're so smart." And then here's the killer line, what I would say. You know, sometimes, you know, your parents, your mom and dad, maybe they don't tell you, but they tell me all the time how proud they are of you. Maybe they don't say it to you, but they'd say it to me all the time, and I want you to know that they are really proud of you. I thought that was killer, huh? I had one lady I saw later in the day said she'd been crying. You know, if I can get people to cry, I'm all in. That's when I think I win. Okay, so anyway, I think that it's time to call in the cast. We have hey guys, are you out there? Okay, let's get them in. We got a David here. We got a David and the Sage
Sage.
and the pretty girl. Okay, so okay, we only have two mics. So why doesn't 'cause Now, why don't we have David and Sage? Oh, I can see what's going on here, because Dave Organ, is like trying to get Sage to move over closer to him, so they can share the mic and give the director David, the. Did you notice that, David? That like, do you feel, how did that make you feel?
As the director of the show.
Wait a second. Yes.
As the director of the show, you're always the one standing on the outside watching the rest of the action. So that's and you watch the counter crossing, but you stand there and look at the picture.
So that kind of made sense how that went down. Yeah. See, because I thought I looked at Dave Ogren, and he looks like the authority figure to me. So I figured the way it was going to go was that you were going to get your own mic, and Sage and David were going
to
share, but it went the other way.
To my wonderful cast.
That's interesting.
Did
you hear, you guys were standing outside, did you hear what I said about your show?
A little bit.
Yeah, that I was afraid to bring my husband because it sounded like a real sex tease. And that I was afraid I was going to get threatened by all the really good-looking women and that we were going to have a fight. You didn't hear that?
There was a shirtless man, so.
Yeah.
A shirtless
man.
There
are a couple of shirtless men.
We want
something for everyone.
Okay,
to
if you can get one of them to lean over and tell me how beautiful and how much they love me, then I'll.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
sure.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. I told you I was going tonight. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. You guys should come. I think we'll probably wind up going at 7:30. Is it sold out, or there may be tickets?
There's room for you. There's room tonight.
Okay.
Especially for a late show. We have
a late show. Mm-hmm. Late show. So anyway, you know what? So and if you do, I have to plug this. They're doing me this huge favor of coming on here. These amazing, bright, beautiful people. So, but what you should do is go to www.planetwongo.com.
That's it.
You can always look on my Facebook page or my Twitter or something, because I have it on there too. I'm helping.
And we have a late night party at midnight.
At midnight.
A DJ comes in and turns into a
Yeah,
Wongo
see, party. This is really funny mm-hmm. because for me, let's get back to me, because this is what all that matters. First of all, your press people are the people that help me get started with my career as Dr. Lisa in 2001.
Yeah, Ron
mentioned that. Ron Lasko and Chip Duckett, who are two of my all-time favorite gay men, I want to say. Is that funny or not? Or is that just stupid? I don't know. I love them. I love them.
They're great guys.
I have such great, like, they've done a lot for me. Let's put it this way.
Ron is the head of the press for the Fringe Festival.
They're just like great human beings and have made so much of this kind of work happen and take off, and I'll get all teary-eyed and shit like that. And also, the other thing is we moved to Bushwick, like, in 2011, and one of my friends from that time that I met, who is now a good friend from Bushwick, is Burr.
Burr Thomas. Yeah. He's an artist himself, but he owns Brooklyn Fire. He runs Brooklyn Fireproof,
and I know his work very well. Yeah. And he's a close friend of ours.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
So it's kind of like all these worlds coming together.
He's been a terrific ally to the show. It's really, really.
Yeah,
great.
He's an awesome person.
Worlds colliding in outer space.
Worlds colliding. Have they met? Has Ron and Chip met him?
I don't know. Huh. Maybe not.
I'd like to see that. Get along. Anyway, so we're excited. So, we got three people here. This is more than I've had before, and I gotta like think what we should do.
Sage. She's the driving force in this whole thing.
Okay.
You met Sage on the street, right?
Unconditional love. Yeah. Did you sit on my lap?
I did.
What was that like?
It was an out of this world experience.
Really? You were sort of hesitant at first, you guys.
We were. I mean, as aliens, you're not used to sitting on grandma's lap. It's not really a thing that happens very often.
Yeah. I mean, I don't usually have... Well, first of all, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody with, like, 3-foot-high hair. How tall is it?
It's very tall. It's about... I mean, I know the lovely people on the radio can't see my hand, but it basically goes to if my arm like, is extended like above
about
my head.
About 7 feet.
It's like as hard. Yeah, it's as tall as a small child on your head, right?
Small child on my head.
And then you have these really sexy outer space outfits, but like really, they're really cool. They're almost like from Star Trek inspiration, right? Not like those stupid, you know, new movies.
We're 60s inspired. The whole show has a 60s flavor.
But it definitely seems like fun. So why don't each of you tell me just like in two sentences a little bit about the show and what your role is in it, and then that'll give everybody an idea. So, Dave Organ, the authority looking guy, he has this Wild Women Planet Wongo T-shirt. So tell me about you and like your role and what with the show.
Well, first of all, I'm one of the writers of the show. There's three writers. I'm the music and lyrics part of it, and we've done the show in the past, but I decided to produce this version of it. This is an immersive theater version, so there's no seats. You're walking into a space there's a bar, you can bring your drinks, and the actors are right inside of the whole thing, running around, yelling at you and screaming at you and trying to bring you in. You're on Planet Wongo. So this was my idea to bring it forth this way, and been working on it for about 2 years, and didn't know any of these lovely people, and I met them and about 30 others, and now suddenly here's Planet Wongo.
So were you involved in the casting and stuff that? Everything, everything. Were you involved in
possible met part of it? Yes.
Oh, good.
I even designed the costumes.
Okay, and And so let's talk to Sage first of all. I didn't really get to talk about Sage. Sage, I'm so jealous of her. She's so talented. She can sing, dance. You speak accents.
Yeah, you can do a couple of accents.
Yeah. What else?
Being a Wonget.
She can actually wear hot, really high hair gracefully. So she has all those like theater skills in spades.
Sage holds the distinction of being in the show and being on our street team promoting.
We've had three Wongets for the last three or four weeks going around various places on the street. You saw us in Bushwick Open Studios talking about the show, which we thought was an interesting way of promoting the show.
Definitely,
and you got a lot of attention. See, I thought that there were only three Wongets,
there's actually eight.
Oh shit! I'm definitely not bringing my husband. So you spent 2 years on the speech and debate. You're like I'm so jealous of you. And you know what? I'm having a really bad counter transference. I don't know how this is gonna go, but anyway. So and you grew up in the Virgin Islands, right?
I did. Born and raised St. John, U.S. Virgin Islands.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your involvement in the show and why. What is it living in the U.S. Virgin growing? Is it like being on vacation, like being born on vacation and all that?
You would hope so, but I mean, you know, you kind of get used to it and it becomes just part of your regular life. You don't go to the beach as much as you would like, but weekends you do get to be like, oh, hey, this is here. So that's great.
And you started out as an island dancer. What's that?
I was considered the island performer as a kid, because it's a very small community, 9 by 3 mile island. And so, you know, I did all types of dance. I did African, modern, and then like a little bit of ballet, but mostly sort of the African dance was kind of where I grew up. And
So
that was cool.
Wow.
But yeah, I started in Wongo as a promotional model, promoting as a Wonget on the street. And then sort of through the process kind of became a swing.
We recognized her talent.
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean you started out just performing on the street and then you were
like performing with performing the street team.
No, you were the street team, the street team, and then you actually got invited into the show because Dave Ogren thought you were like, yeah, that chick. We got to get her on the show.
Yeah, so now I'm understudying the five ensemble girls, the lovely Wongets, and they're all super talented, so I hope none of them get sick. but, you know.
So there's five girls, five Wongets in the show.
Yeah,
there's five Wongets in the show. There's Queen Rita. who is the Queen Wonget, and then there's the three street team guys.
And it's sounding a little more manageable, thinking about it might be okay for my
But at midnight, the whole ensemble comes together.
Oh, because there's a big party at midnight. Yeah, exactly. You young people will like that. Exactly. I go to bed at 11. Like, that's the only way I keep my shit together. Don't go to the after parties.
And I was very lucky to have found David Rugano. He's come in early. He came in early on the project. David was astounding to, I mean, besides the fact that he's a great director and does a lot of things, the thing that really sold me on him is that even, what are you, 29? How old you are?
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's 29 years old, he knows the 60s. Like, I know the 60s because I grew up in the 60s. Like David has an amazing knowledge of this period of time.
I did high camp. I really did high camp.
So this is like your aesthetic. So I love this aesthetic.
The two things that really... Nancy Holson, our general manager, I've worked with her multiple times in the past, and she knew that I enjoy non-traditional spaces. She's seen me direct a theater piece in a rock hall. She's seen me direct a theater piece in a park in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that's why she brought me in to interview. And I pushed really hard because I saw my first immersive theater piece in Chicago in like 2011, I think. And I saw it, and I immediately said, I have to do something like that. And then I looked at the script, and it was half 1960s sci-fi B-movie and the other half 1960s beach party B-movie. and I'm a huge fan of, you know, Psycho Beach Party and that kind of high camp thing. So I said, we got the immersive, and we've got the high camp B-movie throwback.
Right. So it was totally your, like, your thing, your aesthetic. Yeah. You know, you really look like a director.
Oh, thank you.
Make sure I get pictures of you guys. I gotta remember this, to take pictures of you before you leave so I can post them on our site so that people can see what I'm talking about. But I'd be like, if I saw you, I'd be like, that guy's a director. Kind of a theater director.
He is very good.
Let's make a big plug for Here Arts Center. They had their benefit last week, and I started there. That's where I started performing. That's where I did Psychotherapy Live. That's where I was performing when I met Chip and Ron. And so they're really big into immersive theater.
I was on the board of directors.
My husband and I were both on the board of directors for like 10 years until we moved to Brooklyn.
They were one of the places that I was considering trying to do Wongo. The thing is that we really wanted to have a bar, and they don't have a bar there. And Brooklyn Fireproof has a bar. So that was one of the reasons.
But you can see that
we want you drinking when you come to Wongo.
Oh, we'll be drinking. That's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. But you can see how I get what you're talking about, right? It's so great you guys are here. It's so great. besides the fact that I'd have to be spending all my time by myself. The only way I get people to talk to me is get them on the air in here.
Or when your grandma.
Yeah, that's another thing. I manipulate people.
I'm sorry I didn't get to meet grandma.
You can sit on my lap.
Okay.
I'll tell you that I love you, how much, and then how proud I am of you. I am very proud of you.
Yeah.
So anyway, this show, as I warn you guys, is a very, like, we like to get into like personalities, personal stuff, relationships. I'm Dr. Lisa, the self-proclaimed therapist. So, and I have no boundaries. So I'm going to want to, like, you know, so we're going to start talking about relationships now, the relationships that you guys have together or maybe personally. So why don't we start off talking together and then we'll see what happens. And maybe like a reality show, like Unreal. I love that show. Did you see that last night? You gotta watch it. Plug for Unreal.
Oh my God.
But then maybe we'll just, you know, not that you can't hear it, but maybe if there's something that comes up, we'll just ask the other two to leave. What do you say?
Okay.
How's that?
Sure.
Okay.
It's getting real.
And I told them if they have anything they don't want to talk about, just like, don't think I'm trying to exploit them. Sort of. Whatever.
Sounds dangerous. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I want to talk to Sage first. This is so burning in my mind.
Okay, yes.
Because your role, I mean, it's a really sexual role, right?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say
I mean, you're not doing, I know you're not like having, doing lap dances like I was. I mean, yes. I mean, in the world of, I think the concept is a very sexy concept.
It's about sex.
Yeah, it's about sex.
Well, it's also about the idea of, you know, it's actually kind of women positive. Is that
it? It's very woman empowering. Yeah. Very women empowering.
Because it's about.
And it's also about freedom and about breaking out of rules. There's a lot of
horny women. It's about horny women,
yeah.
Right?
To a large extent, it is. Yes, that's true.
That's a term.
And horny men also.
Mm-hmm. Well, but horny men is redundant.
True. That's
I like this, guys. They laugh at my jokes. Oh, wow. So anyway, so Sage,
yes.
Sexuality has to be a really big part of your professional life, right? I'm not saying anything to, I don't know you. The first time I've met you for real without, you know, without your character on.
The hair.
So can you talk about how sexuality, like how you handle that sort of sexuality and what your sexuality, how it compares to your sexuality in your real life? How's that for a question? Whoa.
Sure. Yeah, let's
good for
let's
you.
Answer that. Honestly, in the theater and the film, TV, the whole industry in itself is very sexualized, and it's challenging being a young woman sort of evolving into that. It can be a struggle, but as far as this show goes, I really like it. It's about being comfortable with the fact that you can think you're sexy, but that I don't necessarily feel sexualized. I'm there to be powerful, and I'm there to tell you that, yeah, you can look at me and think that I'm pretty, but I'm in charge.
That's interesting. So can you compare that to, like, one of your other roles that are more typically, I mean, you've done everything. You've done real theater. You've done ballet. You've done everything. We established that. We established how jealous I am of you. Okay. So can you compare that to, like, tell me about a role that you've had that's very female and very, like, sexually passive. I'm sure you must have had some. You're a real, you know, you've
probably
done everything. So can you compare those two and what that's like?
Sure. I mean, the biggest comparison, like, I did a comedy short film last year, and it was the first time I was really, I guess, sexually exposed in a sort of professional production.
And what does that mean?
It means that I had two sort of faux sex scenes in the
you
film.
You mean real sex scenes, but faux in life? You
and
mean like
that we're not actually
were
having
you,
sex,
were you
obviously.
Fucking somebody? Were you supposedly fucking somebody on camera?
Not actually, but that's the view from an audience point. Like,
okay, so you didn't have to fake like an orgasm face or anything. Were you nude? Could we see your tits?
No, you could not. I was wearing a bra.
Okay, but but were we led? I mean, were you guys in bed?
Yes.
And would the view? What was the viewer going to think, that you were about to have sex? You were in the middle of
the
having sex.
The viewer thinks we're in the middle of having sex.
Okay. But he couldn't see your breasts.
No.
Okay.
It's one of the.
As your mother, I'm glad to hear that.
My mom was too. So.
Okay. So did. But what was also your character like? Was it more passive?
She was very much more passive. She was trying to find herself in this very sexualized world and was sort of letting men take advantage of her, not really knowing who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been kind of a nice difference to go from a role like that, where it was sexualized in the fact that you saw me having fake sex, but without, you know, without having really any power and sort of not really knowing who I was as this character.
I was going to say, walking around the streets with Sage and the other two women, we've been in bars, for example, where there's been a lot of drunk guys, who've kind of come on to you guys,
and you've
done an amazing job of like turning that around, taking control of the situation.
We had a very unfortunate situation where one of the men said, "Oh man, I can't afford you," and one of our fellow street team members, who I love dearly, she said, "I hope you get hit by a space shuttle."
Love it.
That's amazing. And in immersive theater, and we only opened last night, so we'll see where this goes. But having seen a lot of immersive theater, you do get to touch the actors, and there is contact. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this
situation.
Especially
in the late night dance party.
Yes,
we are in costume.
Yeah.
We will smack you.
Okay.
They have spears.
I'm going to make sure that they don't touch you.
Yes. Grandma's going to come save the day.
So I'm going to show up as grandma and keep an eye and ruin it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'll be in bed. I'll be asleep. Yeah.
We want the audience to be.
No,
to be,
I know.
To be involved.
Involved, but not, yeah. But not in a, oh, not in like a rude way.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Bushwick anyway. There is so much sex available here that no one's going to pay money or go to a show to try and get to touch somebody.
That's true.
And hopefully, by the time the party comes along, you've seen the show and you've seen what the wild women of Planet Wongo are capable of.
Yes.
And so you might not want to risk any losing an extremity of any kind.
Well, I want to get back to that point that Sage made, which is really great, that the women, like, that it's a real sexy show, but the women are empowered here, and it's like a different thing. But I want to get to talk to everybody, but I just wanted to finish by getting to find out, like, how you personally, because your roles must affect the way you feel during the time you're playing them, am I right?
Definitely, yeah.
So can you tell me, like, just personally the difference in, like, one role, either just playing it or, like, what the difference is in that period where you were playing that role, the passive role in the period?
Honestly, you pull different parts of yourself for each character that you play. And so when I was sort of playing the passive role, it brought out a lot of the insecurities that I have had in my own life about sex and about my body and about these different things. And so you kind of take a couple of days after the shoot is over to be like, okay, you need to build yourself back up again. Like, mm-hmm. you are strong, you are mm-hmm. important, you are beautiful. And then being in a show like this where I'm, you know, walking around showing off my stomach, which is, at least I know, like, looking at all the girls, they're all phenomenal. Like, they're beautiful and amazing people. But I can watch them look in the mirror and be so uncomfortable in how they look.
Oh, really?
And it's sad. But that's the industry that we're in, is that we all judge ourselves far mm-hmm. too harshly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually made me want to walk outside in, like, a really small shirt and be like, I'm completely comfortable in this outfit and I think I look great. And be okay with that, because it's something I think we all need.
Yeah, that's great. So it's actually made you feel better about your physical being?
Yeah.
That's pretty that's pretty cool. I could see how that works. Oh, that's great. It's great. Isn't that great?
It's great.
It's great. Okay. So
And we've also enhanced them quite a bit. So,
we have.
So
we're all feeling very well endowed in the tits.
That's great. Oh, well, you know, I mean, I've worn fake tits in my day. I performed. I've worn fake tits. Chicken cutlets. Anyway, yeah, you know, it's costumes. So here's the vibe I'm getting from you guys. Okay, so as a self-proclaimed psychotherapist, so I'm getting this impression that Dave is, as opposed to David the director, when I first met you, I was thinking I got authority issues. That's my countertransference. But now I'm getting this feeling that you're a lot more generous and less authority. You're like much more benevolent authority.
I try.
Is that right?
I do my best.
Is that right?
I'm looking for the best out of all these people to be creative. And I mean, they're performing my baby, but they made it better, so.
And then what I was going to ask David mm-hmm. is, like, how he feels, because I know that he was brought in, like, as an expert, but not in the genesis of the idea.
Right.
So, but why don't you three talk a little bit about the dynamics of the, like, can we call it company?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Can you talk about, like, what it's like? You've worked on other sets and stuff like that. So why don't you guys talk a little bit give us a picture of what the dynamics are on your set. How's that?
Well, I mean, in any theater piece, and we're not unusual, you become a little family.
Yeah.
It's kind of fascinating because you work together very intensely for, you know, 2 months, and everybody loves everybody, and it's all this amazing experience, and you all feel like you're all best friends. And then you go work on another show, and then you don't see people for a while.
Right.
So, you know, and it's kind of really interesting because you get this bond that happens really fast mm-hmm. and really intense.
Mm-hmm. And I actually mentioned this to someone last night. I was talking to someone about the show, and they were congratulating you and I on our, Dave and I, on our good choices casting the show.
Yeah, we did.
And I mentioned the one thing when you're casting and you're putting people together that it's always a crapshoot. Is finding a good ensemble. And that's where we, you know, we knew we picked good individuals, mm-hmm. but we really lucked out finding an amazing ensemble, and mm-hmm. the people on the show like each other, and that's really important for a show like this, because we had a lot of improv rehearsals, because mm-hmm. we're in a show where we know there's a script, we know mm-hmm. there's a score and things are supposed to happen, but anything can happen
because the audience is right there. You're supposed to walk over here and there's somebody standing there, so what do? You gotta move them out of the way,
and
so,
we had people talk back to the actors last night, so it's really important that everyone is comfortable with each other, everyone trusts each other and is having fun with each other, and I think that's the thing that made last night's opening night audience have so much fun with the show, which it really seemed they did.
And last night, how was what? You know what? Let me do a station ID in case you're on. If you want to call in, it's 718-395-3731, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Dr. Lisa gives a shit, and we're giving a shit about Planet Wongo Planet Wongo. Yeah. And all its wild women and inhabitants.
the show also has a whole other side of it too, which is the technical side. A large portion of the show is animated. We have an amazing animator who came in. One of the characters in the show is a giant eyeball, and he's a cartoon, and we had an amazing animator who animated all the background sets and put it all together. We have an incredible projection specialist, we have a great sound team, we have a great lighting team, to make all that all work together and also be also in a small space with all these amazing actors all together, there's a lot of personalities there. It's not easy, but it came together.
What was I going to say? So anyway, obviously, because there's a really good feeling about the show, and that has to come from that everybody is digging each other, mm-hmm. and it must be a very exciting time, like just launching it right now, right?
Yeah.
Like really crazy,
exciting. And exhausting. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you guys? What did you do after the party? After the opening, and there was an opening party.
We had a cast party.
How late were you out?
Midnight.
Yeah. Oh, see, yeah. Yeah.
I had to get back to the Upper West Side.
What happened? Tell me something that happened at the cast party, which
we danced. They had a jazz band.
Yeah,
they had
swing dancing.
Tell me something that like. Tell me something good that like. Tell me something.
I crawled under the table.
What happened?
I was just trying to get out.
I don't know. I was just sitting drinking.
Do you think anybody hooked up? Come on. Do you just? That's a yes or no question. You don't have to get specific. Do you think there's anyone that's going to hook up on the cast? I mean, not the cast. In the group. There are people that are going to hook up, you think?
I mean, honestly, showmance is like a thing for a reason. Like, you spend enough time with people and...
You're gonna and sexy outfits and sexy environment and lots of drink.
I stand back.
You're gonna get kicked out of here, David.
I'm so boring.
No, you're way too diplomatic. You're way too diplomatic.
But this is true. The topic of showmances came up last night, and I was mentioning it in another show that I had directed that I think everyone in that show was fucking everyone, and the director is always the last person to know.
That's awesome. Why you and are the way you are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to leave.
I want him to stay.
Okay. I'm telling you.
We love David.
Okay. Just don't let him inhibit you.
Okay. Oh, never.
Oh. I mean, it happens. I just don't know that it happens.
You're very unflappable. That's what you are.
Yes.
He's unflappable. Look at these people. You know what? I was going to try and talk to them alone, but it's not ever going to happen.
No, probably not.
They're much more solidified than I. Yeah. I can feel them pulling together in spite of me.
Well, we are a little family.
We've
been hanging together a lot.
Yeah, there's the dad, the uncle. I don't know. I don't know exactly where you fit in. Because you're not really a little sister or big sister. Maybe big sister. Yeah, I think that's good. Authoritative sister role. Yeah, okay.
Sage actually has a tremendous amount of authority. That's one of the reasons I wanted
her here.
And I like authoritative women, so, you know. That's why I wrote this show.
I know why you invited her. She's got way more credits than either of you.
That's true.
So, okay, so that's exciting that there are hookups, or they're going to be hookups, you think?
I would just say showmances are always a possibility.
No, I'm talking about your show. And the party last night. Do you think people are going to hook up?
Will people hook up?
No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Let's not belabor this. Have any of you ever had an affair or a relationship with somebody that you met on a set or in a show or a rehearsal, whatever it is?
Yes, but not on Wongo.
Okay, so let's hear about that. I want to hear about you, Dave. Dave, are you married? Do you have a girlfriend?
I am married.
How long have you been married?
10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Does your wife get jealous or anything? Or
no, my wife's incredibly cool.
What does she do?
She's amazing.
She is in the film business. She's an attorney and produces movies and stuff.
So she's probably really tough. She's tough.
She doesn't
screw around.
Woman. She's an authoritative woman.
She knows who she's dealing with.
She's the real queen of water.
You're putty in her hands. I know it.
It's true.
So you must have had the relationship, I'm guessing.
Now you're going to get me in trouble, huh?
No.
No, way before Vicky.
Okay, so what was that like? What was that like? Tell me about it.
Well, you know, you're always...
No, but I mean, who did you meet? How old were you? What happened?
Oh, a long time ago.
Like in your 20s?
In my 20s.
And was it romantic?
No.
No. So it was just sex?
It was fun. Yeah, exactly.
Did you know it was just sex?
Yes.
So, Dave, when you were like a really young man, did you just have sex with women for the hell of it?
Well, it was a different time.
It was a different time.
I mean, it was like pre-AIDS and, you know.
Yeah, do you think that people nowadays, young people in their 20s, don't have sex for the hell of it?
I don't know, actually. I think.
They sure as hell do. Just the same.
No. I think people certainly have a lot of sex.
Things have not changed.
No, things have not changed that way, but I think people are a little bit more careful now, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. People have just as much sex, it's just they use condoms where they didn't before.
Right,
that's the only difference.
You reminded me something, and I'll say this at the party last night when you said Tinder. Someone who was at our table got a dick pic.
No.
On Tinder during the party last
night. Oh my gosh.
It was rude, but it was impressive, actually.
Did they show it around?
They were like, oh my, and they
Can
I,
you get it sent to me?
I don't think I can. It actually wasn't a cast member. It was a friend of a cast member who had come to the show. So I don't know
How was it sent? Was it sent in a romantic way?
Probably not. Yeah. That's a good question.
Is that a big fuck you? You know,
I've ever gotten.
I'm married. So what do you think it was? What is it? What is it getting a dick pic? Is there anything romantic? Have you ever gotten a dick pic, Sage?
I actually am happy to say I have never gotten a dick pic, and I would like it to stay that way.
Well, I wouldn't be announcing that on. I have a
now
feeling.
You just doomed yourself.
Yeah. I got
a feeling you got a dick pic coming your way.
I don't have Tinder. You can't send me a dick pic.
So, during the party. But they must have shared it around then.
Yeah.
I was at the other end of the table, so I didn't get to see it, unfortunately.
How about you, David? You're really diplomatic. Do you have a girlfriend?
I do have a girlfriend.
Yeah? And how did I know you were... Yeah, I assumed you were straight. That's okay. It's bad. It's bad. I can't... I make mistakes. That's the one thing I'm not very good at.
That's okay, because the assumption is usually the other way around.
Yeah.
Really?
And I was going to say, interestingly, it is interesting because Wongo, my two collaborators, were all straight.
Uh-huh.
And we've been told at various times in our careers that we would never make it because we weren't gay. You know, I mean, we've actually gotten that comment, like, you guys should just you guys should just give up.
Oh, that's
But we've hung in there, and we're, you know, and so.
And you look at you now with your Wild Women T-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, we welcome all sexualities and all genders.
Yes.
And we said that we wanted to make sure that whatever it is you like to look at.
Yes,
If you like to look at scantily clad women, whoever you are, if you like to look at shirtless men, whoever you are, if you like to look at both, whoever you are, we have that for you.
Oh, that's good. Oh, good, good. So, you have a girlfriend now, David?
I do.
And is she in the theater, or?
She is. She's an actress.
Oh, that figures.
Yeah.
What kind of actress, like?
She does a lot of TV work.
Oh.
She actually had to miss opening night because she was doing an overnight shoot on a movie.
Nice.
Whoa. You look, if you could see this guy's face, he's like so proud of her. Oh, he's so proud of her.
She's a doll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's you can see he really doing, you guys yeah, he likes her.
She's been doing a lot of TV and film work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's had some nice appearances on. She does a lot of background work, but she's gotten nice appearances on, like, The Good Wife, where it's very clearly, like, there she is.
She the breadwinner? You guys live together?
Yeah, we live together, but we...
No!
We split it. We share it. We share the bread.
Do you guys... Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So where did you guys meet? Did you meet on a set?
This is an interesting story. We did not meet on a set. We either met... My day job, speaking of... bread and winning it is I work at Trader Joe's.
Oh God, so I love that. You know what? One of my young artists that I have been sort of mentory to, she worked at Trader Joe's, and I used to say that she was the best example of somebody who was going to be an artist because she had the humility to do what it took to earn a living, and I would use that her as an example to all the other young artists.
Yeah, you have to find...
It was Trader Joe's. They must be great with artists.
They are. We have a lot of artists who work there. And I teach theater as well, and that's the other thing. They know that everyone has things that they're doing outside, and so they're very good about being flexible.
That's good
with
to
scheduling.
Know, too.
But
my husband
need,
kicks me out. I'm kidding.
You do need the steady income. Teaching theater isn't steady income. Directing theater isn't steady income. My girlfriend Olivia and I either met when I rang up her groceries at Trader Joe's in 2012, or when she was in a production of Cinderella with my brother in 2001.
Oh,
wow. We don't know if we met then.
And what would that have put? Was that like a ballet thing, or what did your brother do?
It was Cinderella the musical, the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. And my brother sang "The Prince is Giving a Ball," and she was a dancer in the show. She is a ballet dancer.
Oh,
I've been told by other people looking in that I clearly have a type. Wouldn't be the first actress ballet
dancer.
You mean
like
that
perfect?
There's that.
Ballet dancers.
But she was,
they're perfect. They're perfect women.
Yeah, they are.
She
perfect
was a dancer
girls.
In the show, and so she definitely met my brother first, and I definitely saw her in the show, but we have no recollection of whether or not we may have met then.
Because they were both cast members, and your brother was a cast member.
Right.
So is your brother older or younger?
Younger.
And you didn't hit on her?
I have no idea.
So,
but he's married now, so.
Well, that's good. He's off the table.
Yeah.
God, you don't need him around. So, what, you met her, so let's just say it. You met her bagging groceries.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. That's worth more than the job pays.
Yes. True, true.
So,
and that's what we call in the retail business, that's what we call a crushtomer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thank you for that word.
So
what happened? Like, were you like, oh, you like grapefruit too, or?
She was wearing. I write plays and musicals as well. She was wearing a shirt that had Audrey Hepburn Breakfast at Tiffany's on her shirt, and I mentioned that I was working on a play that was inspired by that character. She was impressed that I knew who Audrey Hepburn was.
Really? She really has low expectations.
Yeah,
she does. And she was assistant directing a play at the time, and I gave her my card and I said, let me know when the play is, I'll come see it. Because we had started talking about theater and stuff. I said, let me know when the play is, I'll come see it. And then I didn't come see it.
Oh, man. What happened there?
And, well, if I had, we might not have started dating.
All right. We'll let you finish the story.
After I didn't see the play, I reached out and I said, I'm sorry that I missed the play.
Okay.
But let's catch up. And she said, how's tomorrow?
Whoa, good girl.
And slowly, very slowly, one thing led to another.
But you started out like the way it was set up that you were going to, like, you know, date.
You,
which is a euphemism
for,
how do you do that? How much time you had? Did you get fired? You must have had, like,
you people
waiting.
Customer service and flirting are practically the same thing.
Oh, wow. I've had those jobs. I never met anybody. I used to get fired from all those jobs. That was in the old days when they had cash register. When you had to, like, you know what happens to me is I just get so nervous. No, I get, like, really nervous, like I'm going to, like, fuck it up. And then I get so distracted by how nervous I am.
I also serve food at the demo station at Trader Joe's. And my line, which I'm not allowed to use for the past 2.5 years, is when I'm serving the food, I'll say hot, cheap, easy, and he cooks too. But
they told you to shut up.
No, they didn't. She did. I'm not allowed to say that anymore.
Woman.
Yes, that's.
I like it.
Oh, wow. Good line. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, good line. I didn't realize that about, and you know, that's a really interesting point. Like, people say they don't know how to meet people, or they're trying to meet people on the internet. Get a retail job.
Or just go to Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Show up.
That's,
you'll find someone.
Great. You know, as a self-proclaimed psychotherapist, I'm going to use that in my dating advice.
good
to know. And how about you, Sage? Do you have a boyfriend now?
It's very complicated.
Oh, good. We definitely want to know that.
I spent 6 months in Australia senior year of college, and I met a guy there named Ryan. We dated for about 6 months five months while I was there, and then 4 months long distance after I'd moved away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided long distance wasn't going to work because he's, like, the furthest possible country away.
Yeah, that's not like New Jersey or
no,
even college. It's not even LA.
No. So we've been best friends. We talk on Skype every week. We talk most days, and we've been for the last 2.5 years. And the plan right now is that he's going to come buy a plane ticket and live with me for 3 months. But we are not currently together.
So how long did you date before you moved?
5 months.
Because I was going to say, like, normally as a self-proclaimed, since you didn't ask for advice, you're getting it.
Yes, so excited.
So normally, like, what I would say about long-distance relationships, have you had any other?
We've both dated other people since.
Right, but I mean, people who have patterns of long-distance relationships are generally, I think that there's a big danger in them being avoidance of commitment and intimacy and all that.
Totally.
But the fact that you guys didn't know each other that long and you've stayed together and he's planning on coming here and you're realistic, you're giving it 3 months, right? Because you don't know each other that well and you're going to give it a shot. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, 3 months is the longest visa you can get tourist-wise. So you can get a three-month travel visa, but until he can actually get... Because he's a stand-up comedian, so he wants to move to the States anyway to sort of pursue his career.
You're going to marry us or be with a stand-up comic? Oh, Jesus.
He's a very nice human being.
Jesus. Anyway.
Wait till that stand-up comedy money starts rolling.
Oh, yeah.
I've done some of that. I know how horrible it is. No, but, you know, there are some really incredible people involved in whatever. So, do you have a plan in place to do that? Like, do you have any plane tickets?
He's supposed to have purchased one already.
How long has he been talking about purchasing this alleged plane ticket?
since I left Australia.
2.5 years?
He was supposed to buy one before we broke up, and then we broke up, and then he was going to buy one at a different time, and then that didn't happen. So at this point...
How long?
She's not sure what's going on.
At this point, I believe him.
Okay, but how long this time? He didn't come through the other times. Don't talk about the past. That's over. The
past is over.
So what? How long has it been this time?
I think January.
Okay. And it's been 6 months. If he doesn't get that plane ticket by like 3 or 4 months,
no,
you move on.
He has to buy it in June.
Okay.
There you go.
It's got 2 weeks.
Only got 2 weeks.
I'm going to check in with you and find out. You better fucking get it.
And then in 2 weeks, folks, she's available. She's incredibly cute. So.
That's right. Well, you guys, you know what? I want Dave, I want you to follow up with her about the ticket.
Okay.
Will you do that as my proxy?
I'll post it on Facebook.
Will you do that and like be, because I know you're going to be supportive and like.
I will ask Sage.
And then say, look, you know, remember what we talked about. It's a long time. Okay, good. So we've gotten that down. Good. I feel good. Okay, so we only have 10 minutes left. Look how much fun we had here.
Time flies.
So this is what I want to do. This is a game I want to play. Okay, so now you guys, how long have you worked together? And I don't mean you, the whole group of you.
About a month and a half.
Month and a half, yeah.
Okay, I want you to, and how long, let's say you're going to work together, 3 months, four months?
The show runs until July 4th.
Okay, another month.
Four more weeks. Yeah.
And my job is done.
Oh, so. but you're involved.
I still show up, yeah.
Yeah, you're involved. You'll be in there. You're going to be in there. Yeah. You're going to be in at the parties mm-hmm. and shit like that, yeah. Because your girlfriend's working at night. She's on set.
Only at the moment.
She got
one more overnight shoot.
Okay. Anyway, so tell me just in your opinions, just a guess, what you think is going to be great about the cast, what's going to bond people by the time it's over, and then tell me what you think, like, what's going to get fucked up, like, where the weak point is. Can you do that?
I think
you guys can
answer.
Talk about it. What?
I have the same answer for both of those.
What's that?
Hijinks.
What does that mean?
On stage hijinks.
What does that mean?
The show has an element of improv, and as we talked about, there is the fact that anything can happen, and I think that the onstage shenanigans that go on, either instigated by audience members or done out of necessity because of mm-hmm. lack of room, I think that is going to, on the one hand, bond people
totally
because that's the kind of thing that you get into the dressing room and, you know, that you have to be professional about, even if you're being unprofessional.
Right.
On stage, you have to, which in our case is not being unprofessional because it's encouraged.
Right.
But you have to get through the act on stage. And then when the act is done, you go off stage and that's when you kibitz about it and you laugh about
right,
it.
Right, right.
And so I think that's going to be something that bonds people, but I think that also has the potential to mar things.
So you're talking about you're talking about egos and competition on stage, aren't you? I've been there.
Sort of, yeah.
I'm really insecure. I do that. No, I'm not the one competing. I'm the one mm-hmm. who, like, gets, you know, all right, just go ahead. You take over. I'll just stand over here and sulk. But there's that thing.
But we're encouraging our actors to play with it and play with the audience. And
they're real professionals.
And I'm also noticing little by little that everybody is sort of adapting and finding their own little sets of hand motions and, you know, eye faces.
I'm going to guess this. I'm going to say that you two, you Dave-David people, are the last people who are going to find out if there's tension.
Oh, yeah.
Do you agree, Sage? They get talked about. They do. They've got to. They've already figured.
Very positive light.
But they do get talked about the most, right?
Not necessarily.
Probably.
No.
People like drama more than anything else. Here we are in the theater after
okay.
all.
Okay.
Yeah, David and I are probably relatively low drama people. So
really? Well, then
I think we would be the last to know if there's tension going on in
the
cast.
I mean, just professionally.
Yeah, if there's any tension on the tech side of it.
we know.
Then we hear it. Because both of us deal directly with the stage manager. But the stage manager is the one who deals directly with the actors. So the stage manager will be the first to know if there's tension going on among the cast, which I don't think
there is.
You don't think? What do you think, Sage?
Honestly, I think the cast, everyone gets along really well. They're all very inviting. Like, even being a swing and not always being there. And, like, even, like, I went to opening night, but I wasn't in it. But the cast made me feel very welcome. It was
yeah,
nice
I could see that. I could see that.
I am. I'll be in the after party.
Yes.
I could see that. Who am I going in for?
No, I get a really good feeling from you guys. I genuinely do. I mean,
We had over 300 people audition for this, or asked to audition for this show.
I have no doubt.
And we got it down to, you know, 8 or 10. Whatever it is, and we really picked some excellent people. We didn't really know until we put them all together in a room, but we just kind of divided
and
everybody.
And the people who auditioned made it very, very difficult for us.
There's a lot of talent. Okay, we're kind of winding down, and I just wanted to conclude. I mean, like, what I think, this is my opinion, okay? Because I've worked in a bunch of different creative mediums, not any one in particular, maybe, but. Well, that's a whole other story. But what I'm saying is I've worked with different types of groups of creative people and, you know, in all different ways. And I think that money fucks it up. And, like, you guys are not, like, a high-end Broadway show. I mean,
absolutely
I don't know.
Not, no.
No, but not. I think the more money involved... The more money that people make.
Right.
But I think people get a lot more, it's a lot less fun. What do you think? More pressure.
Well, the other thing, maybe a little unusual about our situation, is that I am the exclusive producer. Many shows, especially Broadway shows, have like 50 producers. Because they need to do that to pull the money together. There's usually one or two who are kind of the lead. But more and more these days, if I put in, you know, $1 million in the show, I want something to say about it, even if I know nothing about theater and, you know, I'm a guy who owns, you know, Zabar's.
And those 50 people have been finding investors who aren't even listed as
producers. I'm gonna have to cut you off. I really am. Even though I'm glad we made that point. So I'm getting that that Dave Ogren. Being the guy that he is, you know, when they say that, whatever, I don't know, he's the guy that's creating like the good vibe. I think
I'm trying.
Mm-hmm. I can see how it makes sense to me now. But I do want to come back in a month, and I'm going to find something.
Well, come tonight, and
you'll have more to dig. Maybe I'll pit some people against each other. Maybe I'll tell you, I think that person wasn't doing their job.
And can we plug the show for one second?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Please come see Wild Women Planet Wongo. It's a really fun, immersive sci-fi piece. It's musical. It's dance. We got a DJ. It's a bar there. It's a Brooklyn Fireproof, which is in Bushwick.
You can find on
Ingram.
My.
You can find Lisa's on her Facebook page or planetwongo.com.
Planetwongo.com. That's where you can buy tickets. That's where you can find information. That's where you can see pictures of these people without their costumes or anything.
Find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, Planet Wongo.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a shout-out again to Radio Free Brooklyn, which is, like I said, the best station in the tri-state area, without a doubt. And Dr. Lisa gives a shit. Next week, I'm going to be live. I'll be on during the week, you know, the recording of it. But I'm going to be on live at Thursday because I'm at same time, 2 to 3, because I'm going camping.
Yay.
I'm so excited. People always say to me that they can't imagine me camping. Do you guys see me camping? You just met me. Are you surprised to hear I'm going camping?
I'm surprised you're excited about it.
I think we should end on that. Okay. All right, let me just check, see if we're out here. I love Planet Wongo. I want to move there.
You should.
Yeah.
All powerful women.
Yes, yes. Thanks so much, seriously.
Thank you so much for being on.
All right, let's see if we're, we need to play. I'm just going to put in some music.
Dr. Lisa gives a shit.